Well, now I'm going to have to probably start the hard thing, and that's getting into my message. But first, I've got something a little bit special for you. So if you gents could cue the music, that would be excellent. Hopefully it's not too offensive. I believe I'm a new creation. I've been planned out since before creation, before the first star in the sky. I was a star in his eye, the notes of a lullaby that echo through my veins. I can't contain the thought. You took away my shame and walked ball and chain through the wind and rain so that I can stand up and proclaim the name and let the world know with every lyric and flow that I'm 100% sold out for you. I ain't looking back at the things that I'm done. Lay them at the feet of your son, and into your arms I will run. And I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Eternally great wolf, with every breath I celebrate you. You are the risen Lord, eternally conquering King. With everything my soul will sing, I believe. Come on, I believe, I believe, I believe. Come on, just two more verses, guys. I believe nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing I can ever do, nothing I've ever done. He's doing possible for him to overcome. He's God Almighty, man, there's nothing new under the sun. He is the only way, he is the only life. The only life worth living in his eternal right. He is my motivation, my only inspiration, granting salvation to every person from every nation. My God's the only God, where's the rest at? If y'all don't believe, then I gotta respect that. But I gotta let my light shine, light up the darkness. And now I'm ready, ready, ready to spark this. Yo, and I'm nobody special, I'm just your average show, trying to flow, trying to let the world know that I believe that Jesus came to set the world free. And even if I don't believe in God, God believes in me. Come on, I believe. Do any of you in here this morning believe? Believe in the God who set the world free. Come on, I believe. Just one more, bear with me. I believe. I believe you gotta believe in yourself. And I ain't talking about worldly riches or wealth. I'm talking about God of the heavens, God of the stars. Same God understands that he knows who you are. And he put you on this earth with a purpose and a plan. Same God once walked this earth as a man. He understands what you're going through. Understands pain. He's had nails and people spitting on his name. He's conquered death and he holds the key. Social patience given free to all those who believe. I feel this thing building in my fear, in my soul. I can feel this thing building like it's ready to blow. I can't hold it no more. This is the reason I'm born. And believe me at all. I believe that it's true. If my God believes in me, then my God believes in you. I believe. I believe. I believe. I believe. Thank you, everyone. You are truly very gracious with me. all right. Yeah, I didn't think there was time in the Rise Up concert for that, so I thought I'd save it for something special. So aren't you guys glad you came to church this morning? Right, so some of you are wondering, like, ooh, did I stumble into the wrong building this morning? Is this really a church? I mean, we got some really funky frontage going on. It's this crazy looking dude with like a ear piercing, and he's doing like a hip hop number. And you may be thinking, where am I? But or looking around, maybe checking the date. Is it April Fool's? No, yeah. No. Let me reassure you, the rap song I just sang, it is for a purpose, and we are going to be diving into some profound revelation of the characteristics of God this morning. But I also just want you to, from that act that I, that rap that I just did, is we sometimes as Christians, we can just be so, like, I know it says in the scripture, be sober-minded, but it also says there's a time and place for everything. You know, there's a time for joy, there's a time for laughter, all this. And so this morning, I'm asking you the question, why so serious? That's the title of my message. Why so serious? Maybe I should say it like in The Black Knight. Why so serious? Okay, no. If you haven't watched The Dark Knight, you won't know what that's about. But Anyway, let's look at my key text this morning. Let's dive into the Word of God. Who knows that's the best place to start and get a message from? That's the only place to get a message from. So, Micah 6, verse 8, and I'm going to be reading from the Message Bible, hence bringing my message this morning. But he's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. Let's pray. Father God, let the words I speak today bring life, faith, and joyful inspiration to your church gathered here. Help me to get out of the light so that your light can shine through your scripture this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, so why so serious? I'm sure you've seen a couple of those too serious Christians. Maybe you are one of them. You're like one of the poster boys for serious Christians. You know what they look like?
Well, I've been a Christian 97 years. I remember when they had organs and flag dancing. The Lord has been so good to me. He's filled me with joy, laughter, all my days. Jesus is so good. Amen. Come with me to church. You'll love it there.
I mean, I think we should send missionaries to your face to tell you the good news that you're professing with your lips, because it's just not at all outwardly evident, you know? And I must confess that it's good news, right? Everything we've been singing, what Pastor Steve spoke about in the communion message, is good news. It's the best news ever told. The crux of the gospel is this, that we were once dead in our sin, heading to hell with no way out, but Jesus took our place. But I think sometimes we personally, I lose sight of how good that news actually is. You know, when you hear the same thing over and over and over, kind of becomes sawn off and the life gets drained out of it. You know, the joy gets stripped out from familiarity. We all know, or we should know, that it's a life-changing message. But sometimes we can get so stale and serious and focus on the religious side of do this, don't do that. But and then that joy is not evident, and it should be evident because it is life-changing. We should be able to live lives of extravagant freedom, you know. Romans 8 verse 1 in the New King James says, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, that again sounds a little bit like religious, but I want you to get the picture from the Message translation on the same passage. You know, it talks about us being under a black, low-lying cloud. But it says, and this is what I want you to zoom into in verse 2 there, it says, the Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifeline. I mean, get the picture of that. There was no way out. We were under a cloud, and Jesus just came, and he just kicked that cloud out and cleared the air, and now we can live in freedom. You know, the problem is we sometimes lose sight of the awesome truth and continue to live under that black low-lying cloud because it feels comfortable to just be like, no, you can't really do that. The Bible says no. The Bible says no. You know, it's easy for us. It's also easy for us to share heartbreaks, setbacks, oh, woe is me, all the negative things. But we need to rack our brains. What was something good that happened to me this week? What was the highlight? What actually was do I have to be thankful for? But yet we live such abundant lives. Jesus has done so much for us that we have so much to be thankful for. And I'm not saying that when we get saved, everything is fine and dandy, or that we shouldn't be authentic with our emotions when we're going through a tough time, or genuinely we experiencing loss and sadness. That's not what I'm saying either. But I'm saying that we shouldn't get so dragged down into the reality of our circumstances and be pessimistic, cup half empty, because we know how it ends. We know that there's victory in Jesus. We know that, you know, we've got new life to look forward to in heaven one day. And, you know, if anything, we should be more life-speaking, more life-giving than any of our peers. You know, God is the ultimate author of joy. It says every good and perfect gift comes down from above, you know, and we should be living lives that show that extravagant freedom and the love that he's lavished on us. You know, I've only got 3 points this morning, and the first one that I want you to just sort of think about for a second is, am I too serious? You know, that's a good question, I think, sometimes. Sometimes I think as Christians we can be too serious, and the world looks at that and is like, I don't want any of that. Like, it's like the joy's just been sucked out, you know? We can put so much pressure on ourselves sometimes to live the perfect life. You know, Jesus did live the perfect life for us. And you know, we need to recognize we are all equally flawed, imperfect, but yet equally forgiven. You know, we've all been equally forgiven for our wrongdoings. Have a look at Romans 3, 23 to 24. And I'm going to be reading from the Voice because I just really like this translation. You see, all have sinned, and all their futile attempts to reach God and his glory fail. And then 24 says, yet they are now saved and set free by his, want to circle that, free gift of grace through the redemption available only in Jesus the Anointed. Does it sound like you did anything there? I did anything there? It's Christ's free gift that set us free. We can't do anything to earn it. However, this doesn't mean we live frivolous lives, rampant in sin, because that's like throwing Jesus' forgiveness back in his face, you know? It doesn't mean that either. However, what it does mean is we're free to live normal, relatable lives without that serious weight of sin and religion weighing us down. You know, in this freedom, we are free to use the unique gifts God has given each of us to express our gratitude for what Jesus has done. My second question this morning, and that kind of builds on that, is, am I living in contagious freedom? And this is where it's going to get quite fun, because I've got a couple of stories to share to you, and I'm going to tie in the rap song at the beginning of the message as well. So if you've fallen asleep up to this point, now's the time to start waking up. So Jesus took us very seriously when he died on the cross so that we can be free and take ourselves less seriously, have a bit of fun. You know, living a little, having joy, just being a bit more spontaneous and authentic. You know, we were captives of sin and death, but now we've been set free. In the same way, in the Old Testament, the Israelites had been captured and taken into a foreign land in captivity for many years, and it happened a couple of times. And then when they were set free from their captivity, they overflowed with joy. And I'm going to read the passage, but as we read it, I want you to think about how much more? These guys were physically captured and then set free. We've been captured but set free for all of eternity, for the rest of our lives. How much more joyful should we be, and get like an idea from how joyful the Israelites were? We should be living out that same type of joy and gladness. So Psalm 126, 1 to 3, and I'm reading from the New King James. It says, when the Lord brought back the captivity, and as I'm saying, insert yourself into here, when the Lord died on a cross and set me free from all my sins and rose again on the third day, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for me. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Sometimes the gladness as Christians is just not evident, and I want to encourage you, we need to show more gladness in our lives. You know, God has also blessed us with so many unique talents, and maybe the problem has been that you haven't found that talent that you can get behind and use for glorifying the kingdom of God. I mean, are you into music like myself? You know, from the age of 16, I've been messing around in FL Studio, making beats and writing rhymes and doing all that kind of stuff. You know, are you into art? Are you into maybe surfing? Maybe surfing's your thing. I know my wife, Michelle, she was quite involved in Christian surfers on the East Coast. You know, and that was her way of making a difference, using her passion, what she's passionate about, getting around like-minded people and spreading the gospel in the way that she's passionate about, you know? Is it horse riding? Find a way to use horse riding to glorify God. Is it sport? Find a way watching sport on the weekend that you can glorify God and have fun in that. Is it cars? Is it aircraft? There's so many different things we can get passionate about and then, you know, try and bring God and use it into that and use it as a stepping stone for the gospel, you know. When you live like that, it's contagious. I just want to put up a photo. This is my cousin. His name's Richard Hardwick. I'm sure some of you know him. He used to play for the Western Force. Now he plays for the Melbourne Rebels, and he's got a couple of caps for the Wallabies. But this is my first cousin. So my dad and his mother are brother and sister. And he came over from Namibia, and he has always been passionate about rugby. But I just want to draw your attention to, if you can see in this photo, you can't really read it, but you can go and look afterwards on Google. But he's got that little white brace, and it's not for an injury on his hand there. What's written on there is it says first in big letters, God is great, and then family. And he says when he gets out on the field, he wants to be, the way that he conducts himself, the way that he plays, he wants to remind himself, I serve a great God, and my family is really important to me. Those are like his two tenets, you know. And he's a professional sportsman, but he's still having that in the forefront of his mind. How can I share Jesus in my little small sphere of influence? And in his case, not that small sphere. But, you know, that's the question to ask. Am I living in contagious freedom? You know, we've got so many good activities that we can enjoy in a passionate way. And, you know, I know I fall into this trap sometimes. Instead of thinking about the awesome things that I'm privileged to have and enjoy, I find myself falling into the trap of living seriously, living a mundane routine, you know, melancholy, mundane, monotone. Sorry, that's from a rap song as well. But, you just isolate yourself in your own little religious world. But in contrast, there's so much more to life if through the freedom Jesus has blessed us with, we live spontaneous, maintain a freshness and authentic novelty in our relationships and the ways that we worship God. So now I want to tell you a story of when I was in university. I was at university in Johannesburg, and about an hour south from Johannesburg, there's a place called Vanderbijl Park. And Vanderbijl Park means of the axe park. Totally irrelevant to the story, but it's a cool name. And in Vanderbijl Park, my aunt Sandra, and we in Afrikaans we call Auntie Tani. So my Tani Sandra and my Uncle Anton or Oom Anton, so Tani Sandra and Oom Anton, they live down in Vanderbijl Park. There is relevance, I promise. And they were passionate about music, but not the music like what I did. It was more like, blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. I don't know, some of you might remember that song, but she was passionate about that style of music. And so what they did was they put money aside, her and her husband, and they bought this trailer, not unlike the Wellard Youth trailer, and they bought like sound desk and speakers and all these instruments and stuff. And what they would do is they would find any hall, any sort of area where they could on Saturdays go and set up, and they'd advertise. And, you know, my aunt had recorded a couple of CDs, and then they'd go and they'd go there and they'd have a mini sort of concert, you know, and then off the back of that, they'd share the gospel message and altar call, salvation. And, you know, there was people there who caught their passion, and if it wasn't for them going out on the weekends and doing that, some people might never have heard the good news, you know. But they also had a son, and their son's name was Peter. And Peter, he was passionate about a different thing. It looked a little bit like this, and he used to go along and do some of this on the weekend. But that's the thing, is there was room even for Peter's passion of flag dancing, you know? And some of the ladies in tears would come to him afterwards, "Oh, Peter, that was like the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life." You know, so that impacted some people because he was willing to take himself a little less seriously, step into a place that was a little bit less comfortable, and use his passion and his gift and his talent to further the cause of Jesus, you know? But if he was to take himself very seriously, he's like, I can't be making a fool of myself going and waving things in the air and whatnot. But that wasn't his perspective. And so in the same time, you know, my aunt Sandra, she heard that I was writing rap lyrics, and she listened to some of the music that I listened to, and she was like, "Oh no, this is different, hey." But like the thing is she then recognized that maybe that music wasn't for her, but that music could touch someone else's life who was maybe living that kind of lifestyle. So she gave me a platform every weekend that I went down to visit them. I would tag along, and then she would, after she's done her song and after Pete's done his little flag dance, she would then very humbly come to the front and she'd be like, "All right, grannies, grandpas, oomstannies, I've got something a little bit different to show you. I don't know if you know this thing called hip hop music, but my nephew, he writes these songs, and he, you know, you got to not look at this from yourself perspective. Maybe you have a young son or daughter and they like this music. This can maybe be a good alternative to the M&Ms, you know?" And I mean, then what we used to do so that everyone could follow along, because it's quite fast, is we'd have an old overhead projector where we'd write all the lyrics down, or I would slowly read through all the lyrics before performing the song. And it's amazing the response. I mean, there was a couple of, not many, but there was a couple of young adults and teenagers sometimes in the gathering, and they'd been dragged kicking and screaming to this thing to hear blessing and honor. But they were then like, "Wow, I didn't know that Christian music could be this cool or this relevant or this awesome. I didn't know that we could package the gospel into such an awesome, relatable form," you know? And so if, again, I hadn't gone with them and been with them, there was people there who maybe would have just zoned out and wouldn't have heard the message, you know? So I think sometimes take yourself less seriously and think, what can I do to forward the gospel like that? So yeah, just highlighting again the end of Micah 6:8, it's, don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. Be fair, be just, be compassionate, loyal in your love. You know, we can all do that a little bit more. We need to shift our perspectives, and rather than on ourselves, we should, and this is my third point, take God seriously, you know? Take God seriously. And in that time that I was, you know, going to Funda Bale Park, none of us were taking ourselves seriously. We were all putting our own agendas aside on the weekend to go and take God a little bit more seriously, you know? I'd like to put up a photo at this point. Some of you younger people might know who one of these people is. You probably won't know the other two. Oh, you know me, but yeah. So the gentleman with the Hello Somebody shirt, Lecrae Moore, he's a Grammy Award winning Christian rap artist, and he's sold millions of albums worldwide. And He came to Zimbabwe and South Africa once, and the first trip that he came across, I worked with my friend Harold Moyle, the guy on the far left. He was one of my good friends from university. But now I just want to talk about passion again. And Harold, when he was at university and I first met him, he was passionate about events and passionate about organizing parties where people could get turnt, you know? And so... Harold's passion, once he got saved, transformed, and he had a different kind of thinking. He thought, how can I bring Christian music to Africa to make a difference? So he had all these talents and all this gifts and vision in organizing events and bringing artists across for talent shows and things like that. But he thought, let me pour all my passion, and he started a company called Fresh Impressions, and it's still going to this day, where he brings high quality Christian acts over from the United States, like Lecrae, Trip Lee, Tadashi, Andy Mineo, Show Baraka, The Truth, all these people. And I was blessed, because I was involved in that at the time, to get to meet all these people. And also open, like that guy CJ Jansen, he's actually a rapper from South Africa, from Durban, and he came to Bulawayo, which is in the south of Zimbabwe, and then he needed to get to Harare, which is in the north, which is where I lived, and we didn't have the finances at the time, because Harold had just started this little company, but I had a little beaten up old Nissan Presea sedan, which is kind of like a Pulsar, you know. And Harold approached me and he said, mate, we've got no way to get this artist up to Harare, and you know, the show must go on. And so went down to Bulawayo, did the opening act, all piled in this little car, totally overloaded, and we're heading up to Harare. And here, it was so funny. It was like Harold, passionate about events and bringing Christian artists over. A Christian artist from Durban in Bulawayo, making a difference in there, going to Harare. And me, some random white guy who was born there, like who just loves hip-hop music and furthering the kingdom of God, you know. And here we are in the car, and we're rolling along. I'm driving. All of a sudden, CJ pipes up, "Stop the car! Stop the car!" I thought, oh no, what did I miss? Did we hit something? What's going on? And so I pulled over as quickly as I could. And then he's like, mate, what happened? What happened? He's like, there's cows. I've never seen cows in real life. And I was like, what? And I didn't realize he grew up in Durban in like the cities, and he'd never really seen these rural cows just grazing in this like African savanna and whatnot. And they were the other side of this barbed wire fence. He's like, come on, we got to take a photo. I was like, okay, well, at least he's passionate about this. So we all, three of us, taking the selfie of us with the cows on the way to the show in Harare. You know, but it was just, we had so much freedom because to not take ourselves too seriously, because we were just enjoying the ride that we were on, just sort of living that joyful, passionate experience. And, you know, we probably wouldn't have noticed the cows if we were taking ourselves a little bit too seriously. But there we are, taking photos and having a blast on the side of the road. You know, it's just the crazy situations you find yourself in when you take yourself less seriously and you take God seriously, you know. Later on in that year, we were privileged to bring Lecrae, Triple E, Tadashi, all of those wonderful performers. They did like an Africa tour, and then they performed in the south and the north of the country. Got to meet and talk to all of them, and that was just awesome because I remember talking to Andy Mineo, and I just said to him, mate, I'm an aspiring artist. I love God, love the music. And I just said to him, what is your... how do you plan for longevity? How are you going to go the distance? He just said to me, mate, your personal relationship with Jesus is the fundamental. Don't ever stop reading his word, having your quiet time, you know, digging into God. That was his, you know, and these are people who just, you know, from that, I've just always clung onto that as like just a key, you know. And here they are coming from the States, doing what they love doing, meeting with people they normally wouldn't meet, and making a lasting impact. I mean, I'll remember those words forever, you know. So it's just amazing the situations you can find yourself in when you do begin to take God seriously. Each of us derive so much joy and pleasure by being involved in those processes, and you know, we can all find a way to get stuck into what we love and use it to further the kingdom. You know, let yourself off the religious hook just a bit and ask yourself the question, why so serious? You know, if you ask yourself that question, I believe it'll help you to live a more joyful, more genuine, more authentic life that is contagious, that people just want to get a hold of, want to just, you know, get more of that. You know, if we live that kind of life of just extravagant love, you know, how can people not be attracted to that and to that joy that comes from doing what you love and what you're passionate about? And like, the thing is you may be here today and say that this all sounds like a wonderful way to live. All this joy, peace, love, hope stuff sounds great, but you don't know what it means to be saved. You don't know what it means to have that. You don't have that personal relationship with Jesus, and you don't know what that deep-rooted joy feels like. You know, the joy that comes from knowing that when you die, you're going to live forever and spend eternity with God. You know, or maybe you did know what that was like at one point in time, and you've since walked away from that. Or you've had these joyous sort of ideas and visions and things that you've been passionate about, and they kind of have fallen to the ground and been like pushed aside because you're like, I'm too old, or the situation that I've got in myself in now, I would never be able to make a difference. Or look, that guy's doing almost the same kind of thing. What kind of difference am I going to make? You know, you keep sort of writing yourself off with this like very clinical, analytical, who am I? But like, I just want to encourage you, like, Jesus doesn't look at you like that. He looks at you as His perfect creation, His son, His daughter, and you can come into relationship with Jesus and know what that love and that joy feels like. You know, He took the place for all the wrong that you ever committed. You know, on the third day, He rose again from the dead, and He offers us that free gift of eternal life and salvation. You know, Jesus did all of this so that He can have a relationship with you. He loves you so very much. And if I could get you all to be upstanding, church, that would help me so much. Just for people, we're going to pray for the people who are coming back to Jesus this morning. You know, I'd like to invite those of you who've never had a relationship with Jesus, or those of you who feel like you once knew Jesus and then walked away, to come back into relationship with Him. If we look at Romans 10, verse 9, it says this: there's only two things you need to do to come back to Jesus, or to come to Jesus for the first time. And that's if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, and some people look at that and it's like, it doesn't sound like that difficult, but you don't know what I've done. I've done terrible things in my past. I haven't been an upstanding member of the community. You don't even know where I'm at, the things I've seen. But I just want to encourage you, further on in that passage of scripture in 10:13, it says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's everyone. There's no boundaries there. There's no boundaries. So, church, I'd just like us all now to pray this prayer together. Father God, right now, I need You to give me Your joy. Give me Your peace. The joy and peace that come from knowing You. Transform my heart today. Forgive me of my sin and wash me clean. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus died on a cross to save me from my sins. I believe that He rose again, and I will follow Him all my days. Amen.